portions of our programming have been pre-recorded.
The Good Neighbor Network, WGNS, Murfreesboro, Smyrna. Flagship station for MTSU sports. The views and opinions on this show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of WGNS, its management, other hosts, or advertisers.
You're listening to Simplicity Sunday with your host, Angela Bingham, broadcasting live on your Good Neighbor station, News Radio WGNS, every Sunday from 6 until 7 p.m. Thanks for tuning into the show, and remember, 1 hour of simplicity can change your life in Jesus Christ.
We are Simplicity Sunday. I am Angie B, along with
Angie Renee.
And we are so glad that you joined us.
Yeah, yeah.
We want you to know that simplicity is a way of life. It's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And we want to simplify everything. We get the best from the east, south, west, north, south, east, west. We get the best. Gotta let it rhyme, you understand? We get the experts and have them on our show so yes. they can simplify what we need to know. And some of us, we're abreast, and some of us, we're not. But when you break it down and get it where the goats can get it, that's what one of my favorite radio hosts used to say, get it where the goats can get it. Mm. Plant it where the goats can get it. So we want everybody to be aware and understand what our world, the world we're in.
That's right.
And what's going on in our world, mm-hmm. whether it be whether we're talking about simple things as in the church arena or the mm-hmm. government.
That's right.
Or just community.
Community,
we want
absolutely.
You to understand where mm-hmm. we are coming from. So once again, thank you for tuning in. If you want to call in, that number is 615-893-1450. Once again, that is 615-893-1450. 50 and YouTube is now and later.
That's right.
We want all those views, guys. We want to be the number one show in the nation. Do you hear me? In the nation.
Amen, amen,
so
amen.
So how do you know that you're simplifying your life quickly? You know, God is the author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes,
He's the giver and the sustainer of life.
Thank you,
he
Jesus.
Created us in his image and in his mm-hmm. likeness. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how do you get in his likeness? Well, you got to do it in love to know that he gives you power to do the plan mm-hmm. that he has for your life, because everybody comes with a purpose.
Now,
you don't have to wonder why, Lord, what is my purpose? To glorify mm-hmm. him.
That's
whatever
right.
profession you're in, mm-hmm. glorify God. Do it God's
do.
Way.
That's
think
right.
of others and think of yourself, but not highly, more highly as you ought. And then mm-hmm. once you have the power, the plan, the purpose, he'll give you the perfect peace to do the plan. And then he'll give you that kind of passion that you love what you do.
Yeah.
You would do it for free, but don't tell nobody. And then he will give you the patience to deal with yourself because sometimes you don't even understand why you're where you are, but it's the grace of God.
Thank you, Lord.
So he will give you that patience, and then he will give others patience with you. Mm-hmm. But the main thing, we want to be in the plan and live your purpose.
Yes.
That's how you simplify your life.
Yes.
Well, Angie Renee, we want to say God bless everyone. We know this is a month that we are aware of people who have overcome the battle mm-hmm. and people who are still in the battle
right.
of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And cancer is not a killer. I don't want people to, when you hear that diagnosis, then everyone, you know, you just like to lose your joy,
right,
you lose
right.
your hope. But, you know, you keep your faith because mm-hmm. God is the ultimate healer.
That's right.
And he is the one who gives life. He gives mm-hmm. you a birth date. And when your time is up, he'll give you an expiration
That's
date.
Right.
But live
That's
through
right.
the dash. You understand? Mm-hmm. Do everything you can. And Angie, I have lit the torch. And we know lit is L-I-T. nothing but living in trust and living in truth. You got to trust the truth of God.
That's right.
All
that's right.
Right.
Amen.
Take it on, Angie.
All right. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Simplicity Sunday broadcast. We are so grateful that to have you with us tonight. We do not take it lightly as we open up the space for honest and necessary conversations.
Oh, yes.
I do want to acknowledge that October is also Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Yes.
We want to stop the violence. All right. All right. So definitely reach out to those people that, you feel like are in situations. They need help, and sometimes they don't know where to turn.
Yes.
So it's up to us.
And
it's
Angie, sometimes we look at physical violence, but it's also, you know, verbal
emotional
abuse, all
that's
of
right.
that. And it, we're worth more than that.
Yes, we
if
are.
If you're in a situation now, get help.
Yeah, yeah.
Get help. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. You can make it without that person if they're hurting you.
Ooh.
All right. So tonight's episode is from our fourth Sunday, Social Justice Sunday.
And in our Social Justice Sunday, we want to tell the whole wide world that we have the best producer ever. And his name is Connor. He is handsome and he is single and he loves the Lord. We're
going to
get him married.
We love Connor. We love Connor. He does
but he
an
is
excellent
amazing.
Job.
Yes, he does.
Amen. Thank you for that. All right, so tonight's broadcast is from our fourth Sunday, Social Justice Sunday series, and it's entitled Beyond the Borders. And we'll be exploring the state of the Latino community in the aftermath of recent ICE raids and what these events mean for families, advocacy, and our shared humanity. We are honored to welcome an incredible guest who has been at the forefront of these conversations and community actions. Joining us tonight is Mr. Luis Pedraza.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Did she do that? She did that. Did you hear the R roll?
Pedraza. Oh, yeah, that was perfect.
Showing out.
Yes, go on, Angie.
A longtime community organizer and advocate for immigrant rights, Luis has worked closely with immigrant families impacted by detention and deportation and brings a deeply rooted perspective on both the human cost and the resilience within the Latino community. Please join us in welcoming Luis Pedraza to the Simplicity Desk.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Clappers.
I have some too. Ooh. All right, we got an idea fresh off the press.
Stay tuned. Welcome, welcome. We're excited that you are here
yes.
at the Simplicity Desk with us this evening.
No, thank you. It's I was looking forward to this opportunity all day, all week, all last month, this past month, just because I think it's important to keep talking about this. I know me and you, Angie, were talking about earlier how we can't tiptoe around these things and act like they don't exist.
That's right.
It's right here. It's not in our backyard. It's in our front yard.
And
it's
in our
on the street.
Exactly.
Yes.
Every day.
You know, it's all around us. And what's happening to our black and brown communities right now is not something that we can just ignore. It's connected to everything in our community.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Connected to our education system. It's connected to our policing. It is connected to our religious institutes.
Yes,
that's right.
So just want to say that thank you all for having me here today.
Our honor.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. And as I mentioned to you out in the lobby, we're going to also just be reading scriptures throughout the show.
Amen.
So that we can show that in God's word, the Holy Bible, that how God feels about injustice.
Amen. Amen.
He makes it very clear.
And so, that's why I'm glad we dedicated every fourth
Sunday
here on Simplicity
as
our
Social Justice Sunday.
Absolutely.
We are definitely, we make space for those tough conversations.
Mm-hmm.
We don't shy away. God has given us, we are the Angies.
We are the Angies.
And God has given us a platform and the tenacity and the courage to have that talk.
And we will be held accountable
for
what God has
given
us. And we will be obedient.
Now,
come on.
Come on. All right, so I want to start the conversation. I want to open it up with Jeremiah 22:3. This is what the Lord says. Do what is just and right. Rescue from the hand of the oppressor the one who has been robbed. Do no wrong or violence to the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow. And do not shed innocent blood in this place. Are we ready for the conversation?
We're ready.
Ready.
On that note. All right. So, Luis, to begin, could you share a bit about yourself and your role in the community and what drives your passion for addressing the issues of ICE raids?
Just a little bit about myself. I'm the proud son of immigrant parents. I come from an indigenous Mexican background and Purépecha. And I have grown up here in Tennessee since I was 6 months old, maybe a little before that. But I was born in California in Santa Ana. And I've just grown up here all in Middle Tennessee. It's hard to say like what I call home. I just say all Middle Tennessee because I've lived in Franklin. I've lived in Nashville. I lived in Aniak. Mm-hmm. And in Shelbyville is what I call home currently. Mm. So that's a little bit about my background. And as far as where I see myself in this community, what I would point to myself as, I would say I'm a community organizer. I proudly proclaim that. And that's not an ambiguous term. When I say community organizer, I am someone whose role in this work is to give hope and inspire.
Yes.
The role of a community organizer, I see it as someone who is willing to engage, someone who is willing to educate, and especially someone who is very willing to mobilize, as hard as it is.
Yes.
And no matter what the obstacles are in the way, you do not give into the privilege of walking away from this work, because it is a privilege to give in and walk away from trying to better your community. And so that's what I see, and that's what I try to do, not just here in Murfreesboro, in Rutherford County, but all my Middle Tennessee community.
Yeah, that's awesome. We need you. We need more. Yes. We need
more of me.
More of you, absolutely. Because
you can just see the glow all over.
Yes, he's passionate about it.
Absolutely.
We need that because there's so much going on.
Yes,
and we need as many people, as many boots on the ground as possible. So absolutely, and we're so glad you're here. So glad you're here.
Glad to be here.
So
let's address that passion for, you know.
Yes, that passion.
Oh, yes.
Yes. A little bit more about myself, which could show you why this is a passion of mine. I've gone through a deportation in the family. My older brother, may rest in peace, was deported a little under a decade back. And that's a lot of grief that I carry with me. He passed away in a car accident a couple of years back. And it's something that me and my family live with. You know, the pain doesn't go away, but you get used to knowing how to carry that pain. And I honor him through this work that I do. I honor him. I honor the family that's, for one reason or another, I haven't been able to see because of the way the immigration system is set up here in this country, and how it interacts with people outside of this country. And the passion that I have is to see a world where there is no discrimination. Full stop.
Yes.
Full stop.
And we could add some details to it, but that is going to be essentially it. No discrimination based on your status. No discrimination based on where you were born, the language that you speak, languages that you speak.
Yes.
And especially nothing because somebody one day decided to create an ambiguous law that decides whether your humanity is more recognized than someone else's.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes. Because in God's eyes, there is no difference.
And you're exactly right. There is no difference. When you said that, we could make it a rhyme. Immigration is not a reason for discrimination.
I like that.
I'm stealing that.
I'm stealing it.
Immigration is not a reason for discrimination.
I need to put that sticker on my water bottle. I need to make that into a sticker onto my water bottle, my laptop. I get a shirt about it.
And a shirt. Look, I was just thinking about a shirt. You hear? Absolutely. Good evening. Good evening, Dr. Richard. What a surprise.
Yeah, I got a surprise for y'all.
Yes.
How you doing? How you doing? Really quick. Real quick. Less than a minute. All right, first of all, here. I got a gift bag for you.
Oh, wow. You know, oh, I love gifts.
So I was so impressed with the last gift bag that you gave. So I said, let me contribute a little bit. Get some more stuff. Yeah.
Okay, God.
There's more.
He's contributing to gift bags. Our gift bags. We give our
gift bags away to our Simplicity guests.
Yes.
Just to say thank you for their time and their look.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful. You are amazing, and Dr. Risser.
I have a $50 check from Matthew's Money for you.
What? Yeah. Oh, my God.
That is awesome.
Tell our people what's your next event.
My next event is coming soon. I'm getting ready to start some local cohort classes in Murfreesboro, so I'm excited about that. And I have a new wealth affirmation journal that's going to be published in December.
Okay,
so
okay.
Got some awesome. New things.
Thank you.
I got some
you.
New flashcards for your babies, ABCs.
Okay, oh, wonderful.
So I'll drop some out soon.
Okay, thank you, Dr.
Awesome.
Risser.
Awesome.
I love Dr. Risser.
Thank you so much.
We have surprise celebrities to drop in.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love it.
Oh, wow.
Now we can continue to be a blessing to our guests and the community.
Oh, that is such a blessing.
We do take donations and we appreciate
them so much
because we want to continue to bless the not just the Murfreesboro, but the Rutherford County community.
Yes, and we have integrity with our blessings, with our gifts,
that's
and
right.
with our donations.
Amen.
You can
Amen.
Count on us doing the right thing.
That's right. Absolutely. All right. Well, that was such a surprise.
I know it.
Okay. So can you briefly share your initial reactions to the ICE raise and what you've seen or experienced in your communities since? Mm.
So my initial reaction to the ICE raid, ICE operations that happened here in Nashville were not again. Mm. Because in 2018, when I was living in Knoxville, I went to UT Knoxville, Bean Station, which is pretty much Morristown, Tennessee, over in East Tennessee, had a immigration raid on a meatpacking plant. And I actually knew people whose family were detained, were affected, impacted. I met people who were impacted by mm-hmm. this. And I remember hearing about how the next day so many kids were missing from the Morristown schools because of the fear that was experienced because of this. And I remember feeling powerless.
Yes.
I was a young student, and I remember sitting in the living room watching TV and just seeing the news and feeling like there was absolutely no hope and feeling that I had no capability whatsoever being able to tackle this. And I learned since then that I can't tackle this alone. I learned that it's going to take a community.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's going to take not just resilience by yourself, but the resilience of a group of people coming together and understanding that we are willing to work past our differences.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And change this. So when I saw this ICE operation here in Nashville, even though I told myself, not again, I immediately had a system, a group of people, and I jumped into action. And I was not afraid. I had the tools, and I said, it is time for me to step up. And so I did that with my community. I organized with the Remix Way, where an immigrants' rights religious institution, a religious organization, but not your typical religious institution, where our call to serving is, what unites us is our call to serve the community.
Yes.
What unites us is, regardless if you're a doctor, if you're a social worker, if you are in youth services like I have been in recently, your call to the community is what drives you. And so when the ICE operation happened here in Nashville, which happened in Antioch, the heart of the Latin community here in Nashville, and that was on purpose.
Yes, it was.
I knew to immediately call my friends, call my fellow organizers, and we began talking to the people affected. We began calling around. We began driving the streets. We began going and following ICE agents to the risk of our own safety.
Yes.
And that includes me. I went out and followed the ICE agents as they were discriminating and profiling and pulling people over because of the color of their skin.
Right.
And so my reaction was to jump into action, but also to bring other people with me. And that's what I have been determined to do since May. And since I've been seeing these mass immigration raids in Georgia, in Chicago, and in other parts of the country.
New York, What have been some of the most immediate and long-term effects of these raids on your community?
I will say that in a time of fear, what we will see is people react out of fear in such a way that it creates long-term damage.
Yes.
When you see your community being rounded up, when you see the police aiding in the discrimination and profiling, the targeting of people, you wonder if this is your community at all. And while it's easy for me to say this is, and you deserve to fight for it, it's much harder when you are the targets. It is much harder to say that you are the person who is undocumented or has another type of status, who is being pulled over, or who may be pulled over. And you might say, maybe this is my time to leave. And the long-term effects, if we're going to be very hyper-specific, is that this is going to damage our local community here in Murfreesboro.
Yes.
This ICE operation, especially with this new 287G program that the local police, the Rutherford County Police have decided to sign on to, is going to prevent a lot of immigrants from being out and active in the community. It's going to hurt a lot of business owners, not just the ones who are immigrants themselves, but also the people who get a lot of business from immigrants in the community.
Absolutely, yes.
We're going to see that impacted. We've already seen in Nashville that people have closed their shops or have cut back on their hours because they are either afraid or they are just not seeing the business that they saw beforehand. We've seen that over in Antioch, on Murfreesboro Pike in Nolensville. We've seen that on Gallatin. I had my favorite. She was it was a taco stand in Gallatin. And I would always go just chit chat with her because she lived right down the street. And I would talk to her. And then one day I go and she had been replaced. She had been cut loose. And they, I was just like, so they were shutting down her stand. And they just had someone there momentarily. And that made me really sad. Because, I mean, this was just someone who, you know, we would always just talk about like the funniest things, the randomest things. And like for her to have to lose her job because of what's been impacted, because the economy has been impacted from these raids, it's awful. And we're going to see more and more of this the longer this goes on and the less people speak out.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know, Angie Renee and Louise, when we talk about the American dream, you know, when you said it made you sad, you know, this is something that she's gifted and talented to do, you know, something that she can offer somebody. Because when somebody got good food.
Oh, I love good food.
Me too.
And when they're just good people.
Yes, and bringing your culture into the environment. You just love it.
Yes.
And then that causes the human impact of why we're doing our show tonight. Because when you said humanity, that's what it's about. Everybody matters.
Right.
Yes.
No. It's not, and it's not about criminal background.
No, it isn't.
Because when you're profiling and targeting, you don't have that information. You are just going and grabbing if they fit the description.
Exactly. No, thank you for saying that.
It is not about anyone being criminals because there are children being involved. The children.
Yes.
Emphasize.
So that, you know, that's what's being told, but it's not the truth. And if we're going to be honest, you're just grabbing people that you don't know, that you don't want here.
And we've seen this before.
Oh, yes.
It's just taking on a different form. We call this immigration enforcement, but it's never just been immigration enforcement.
No.
I will say that it is easier to distinguish it, that this is just how immigration enforcement has to look like in order to, quote unquote, catch criminals. Right. But we have seen this in not just a red administration. We've seen this in blue administration. We have seen this for decades.
Yes.
I'm not going to try to give a history lesson here, but the one thing I will say is that when we saw people being rounded up in post 9/11 era, it was for terrorism. And then we saw an immigration system be constructed around that. We saw that suddenly laws got more strict. It was harder to get a visa. It was harder to immigrate into the U.S. We saw suddenly that people from the Middle East were having trouble, were to this day still get more likely pulled over in the TSA line. And that was for the war on terror. And then we go past that and we see in the Obama era, the most people ever deported under a single administration. And that was 1 million people. But it was done very quietly under this thing called secure communities, and which was an inappropriate name because the idea was that you were making the community more secure. But it was a system set up to where the police were more likely to pull people over based on skin color, which we've seen that in throughout the history of U.S. And people who were of a Latino background, Latino presenting like I am, were more likely to be pulled over, detained, reported to ICE without any criminal infraction, just because they had the coincidence of running into a police officer on the streets. And we saw from that a million people detained, a lot of mixed status communities, mixed status families torn apart from that. And that system actually contributed to my brother's detention. So I want to speak to that. I want to speak to that, that this is not just going to be a left or a right wing issue. And I know it's maybe a little, you know, that's that tiptoeing. People don't want to talk. Oh, this is starting to get into administrations. It's starting to get into politics.
It's just honest.
But this is honest. This is, this is my truth. It was a system under a blue administration that my brother got deported when Trump was in office only a couple of months in. And so I'm very aware that while this is tough to talk about, we need to talk about it. And that we need to stop saying that it's a criminal issue.
And it's not.
And we need to stop pretending that it's a safety issue.
And it's not.
It has always been about policing what kind of skin color is allowed to live their life out on the streets.
Yes, that's it. That's exactly it. All right. I think it's time for a really quick break so we can have some announcements.
Announcements, and we need to know what's going on in the community.
That's right. All right. Love Connection Ministries. Each and every Tuesday evening at 5 o'clock p.m., join the Love Connection Ministries and Team Tuesday at Oakland Restoration Church, located at 530 North Manny Avenue in Murfreesboro, as they sow seeds of love, compassion, and a hot meal to those in need, according to Matthew 25. Email teamsimplicityradio@yahoo.com for contact and donation information. To God be the glory for his provision. Attention seed sowers. Simplicity Radio is looking for seed sowers to bless our ministry so that we can continue to provide support for those in need in the community who need it most. If you would like to partner with us in our endeavors, you can donate via Cash App at $SimplicityWithAngie, and that's A-N-G-I-E, or you can email us at teamsimplicityradio@yahoo.com for additional information. Thank you in advance for supporting our initiative to help the Murfreesboro community. And now we have some surprise guests in studio with us this evening for a special announcement. Please welcome Mr. Kevin McCroskey and team.
And this man of God, you better plan to be at anything that he has at his church. Amen. You want it real? He will give it to you real now. Live. And with some fire.
Now, come on.
Amen. Amen. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. My name is Pastor Kevin McCroskey, and this is my lovely wife.
Hey, good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Listen, we have a few announcements that are happening with Calvary's Rock Faith Church over the next 2 weeks. First Sunday, we will be having my pastoral installation at Smith Fort District Tabernacle right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. That's first Sunday at 12:30. Come on out and be a part of this worship service. And on the second Sunday, we'll be celebrating our veterans program at Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, right here in Murfreesboro, where the pastor is Pastor Jerry D. Marable. So if you don't have anything to do on the first or the second Sunday, come on out and join us and celebrate what God is about to do in this community and in this city. Now for Calvary's Rock Faith Church, we are located in Smyrna, Tennessee at 8014 Safari Drive. That's 8014 Safari Drive. And our worship service is at 10:30 every Sunday morning. So if you don't have anything to do, man, I would be overexcited if you come out and worship with us, because there's a move of God happening in the place. And we're on a series called Identity Check. So come on out and be a part. God bless you and have a blessed night.
Amen. Oh, amen. Good. Thank you so much. You heard it here. Awesome.
Let me grab these earphones, these headphones back. He took the host place. That's awesome and amazing. And that's how he preaches and leads, along with his beautiful family.
Yes, beautiful.
We thank
family.
God for you.
Amen.
And we will have you on the show very soon.
Yes, yes.
God bless.
Amen.
All right.
God bless.
Thank you so
evening.
Much.
You have a good evening.
All right.
Amen.
About next week's show. Join Team Simplicity next Sunday for a show in our Simplicity Chat series on Talk Topic, Caught Up, with special guest Elder Millette Milliken. Join us for a kingdom conversation about faith, fear, and end time hype following the latest rapture-related social media viral moments. We will see you then for that conversation. Now back to tonight's Simplicity Sunday Talk Topic, Beyond the Borders, with special guest Mr. Luis Pedraza.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank y'all once again.
Yeah.
You're
no,
welcome.
I'm
my showing, pleasure.
I'm showing out. I just Pedraza.
I just gotta say, I love this energy.
That's the Angies. God
the
gave
Angies.
Us the, that kind of energy.
And, yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm really grateful. I'm
Amen.
Grateful to you for being honest. Even in the pain, but in the gain that you want to
That's
do.
Right.
For the community, and not only for the Latino community, but we exist together.
Amen.
You know?
Yes. No,
That's
thank
right.
you.
That's
it,
right.
I think that gets lost in the conversation of immigration. It's that it's solely a Latin issue. It's not. It is everyone's
it's
issue.
Yes, yeah, a human.
We're all affected.
Yes.
It's a humanity issue.
Yes.
We all need to come together for each other.
Yes.
And now I think that's the point we really need to hit home. It's not us against you, it's us with us.
And the government for the people.
Yes.
Now, eventually, hopefully.
Amen.
All right, so I have a question. Do you feel the media has accurately captured what's happening on the ground?
I think media is always going to be limited, whether it's media or social media, traditional media or social media. I think it's hard to capture such complicated and humane things on a camera in 30-second, 1-minute segments. I'm not going to bother naming which TV stations. Like, we all know which TV stations.
Yeah,
we all know
we do.
What radio shows. Everybody knows in this country.
We
if
do.
You dip your toe into politics for just 2 seconds.
We do.
The one thing I will say is that what will capture every single time what's actually happening are the people that are impacted.
Right.
A lot of the vitriol, maliciousness that we're going to see towards immigrants, that we're going to see towards Latin people. I mean, I would ask for those that believe we should be treating people this way, have you talked to someone who is an immigrant? Have you talked to someone from the Latina community who has been targeted? Have you ever talked to someone like myself, who's been over twice, been pulled over twice in 1 week in the same place just a month ago? Have you ever talked to someone like myself, who's had an experience of a deportation in the family and has had to work through years and years of grief, all while trying to navigate college and get the first big boy job, and just trying to be another breadwinner of the family?
Yes.
It's there's a human impact here.
Yes, it is.
There's a lack of dignity in how we treat the Latin and immigrant community and the Afro-Latino community when it comes to immigration enforcement.
Yes.
And it is an illusion to think that this is how it has to be.
Yeah.
This does not have to be. The people who are in charge of the government, we get to decide whether we want the enforcement to be this way at every single minute. And we get to decide if we want to change that from 1 second to the next. So, yes, I just want to say that when it comes to uniting our communities, we should be working together.
Yes.
We should be understanding that this goes beyond just our skin color, but it goes to the fact that, like, we're all just trying to, you know, go along. We're all just trying to live the same paycheck to paycheck. We're trying to go beyond that. We're trying to thrive. This is, this is a working class issue.
Right.
You know, that's Simplicity's slogan for 2025 is to thrive. And like you said, to stay alive, thrive, and do your best. Treat people the way you want to be treated.
Amen.
And, you know, with the public and the media perception, we want to change that when it's not truthful, when it's not the honest.
Exactly.
I guess the honest position or what's really happening, to keep it real. I want Simplicity to be right there. That's why we have the social justice Sundays, because we want to be in the thick of things, but we want to be in the truth of things.
Bring awareness. Absolutely.
Bring that awareness, and then it's up to our viewers and listeners to be the difference.
Amen. Think,
are you in those shoes, and what would you want somebody to do for you?
Right.
We're the voice.
Right. Amen.
We're the voice the voiceless sometimes.
And something more to what you said, I mean, we are here talking about this, about what it really looks like. And I am not the exception. I am not just something that is anecdotal, that, like, I know people in my community. I know hundreds of people in my community who have been in the same place that I have been, that have been impacted by this immigration enforcement.
Yes.
About how hostile it is, about how we are treated without dignity, without respect. And just want to say that we should have more of these kind of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
For when you don't know if what you're seeing on the media is correct, I'm going to ask you, go and reach out to the people who are most impacted, and you will get the real story there.
Yes.
And don't just stick to what's on your phone. Don't just stick to what you see on a 1 minute clip on the evening news. It's go out there and see. And I guarantee you, I mean, if you go and talk to the people that suffered from the ICE operations back in May, you will see what the real picture is. And it is people who are just trying to live their lives as agricultural workers, as business owners.
Yes.
As people working in your Walmarts, that they had some bad incident start to change what they were doing day to day. They had an instance of racial discrimination.
Yes.
Keep them from living their lives.
Very true. And the unfortunate part is they don't want the truth. They're okay with whatever is being said on their screen or on their phone. They're not doing any research. They don't want to talk to anybody else because they like what's happening. And that is the unfortunate reality of what's going on, because if they really wanted the truth, they would go get it. They wouldn't allow anyone to feed them. They would go out and learn to fish. They would feed themselves.
That's the tough part. About going out in the community is that I've met people who like this, like seeing this type of enforcement.
Yes.
And it's my job, though, to speak to that. It's I can't step away from this. I can't say, well, I can't change your mind, so I'm going to let you go. No, we're still neighbors.
Absolutely. Right.
And this is still going to happen in our front yard, whether or not this person agrees with me or not, or wants this. So that's the tough part, is you need to go and talk to the people you disagree with.
Right.
And realize that's, or have them realize that you're just a human being like them.
Right.
And that you both probably make the same 50K, that your kids go to the same public school, and that you both have the same issue with your crappy boss. And, you know, it's like that we're all really just trying to get along. Like,
right.
You know, we're all really just trying to go on with our lives. And it's so easy to want to live in that hate. It's so easy for me to want to live in that hate.
Yeah,
but I don't want hate to be a part
word.
Of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, the people that don't want to learn, I don't hate them. What I think is I need to connect with them. And that's what I try to do in my work, especially in a place like Rutherford County, where you don't see the coverage of what's happening. You think what happens in Nashville is just Nashville. But I know that people that were impacted and detained in Nashville, people, their families lived here in Rutherford County. Mm-hmm. Their families live here in Murfreesboro and Laverne and Smyrna, or they work here. They commute here. So it really does impact every single part of the Middle Tennessee community when we see what happened in Nashville.
Yeah, I like when you said about hate, and immediately it came to me, don't hate, educate.
Exactly.
Right. I can even speak to, there have been a couple of families in our neighborhood that suddenly disappeared from the homes they were living in. I'm like, that family's gone, because the cars that used to be there are not the cars that are there now. Mm-hmm. And it happened between the spring and the summer. And I thought, oh man, were they affected? It's a heavy weight to bear. And there's got to be change.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
me too. Because no one is taking food out of your mouth. No one is taking jobs from you or your family or your children. There were jobs out there.
It's been tough.
But there were jobs out there, and the kinds of jobs that were available. It's just, let the people who want to work.
Yes.
And be productive citizens.
Absolutely.
And I will say, at the same time that we've seen a harder economy, we've seen less immigration as well. So definitely a myth that gets told out there is that there's like limited resources in terms of jobs. It's not true. That's never been true. And the question we really should be asking is, who's determining who gets a job?
Yeah.
Instead of blaming your fellow worker who's just trying to figure out how to get a living and may beat you out for a job, why is the supervisor suddenly cutting so many full-time people and outsourcing? Why is the supervisor or the corporation that you work at, the business that you work at, suddenly trying to figure out ways how to cut living wages and cut benefits? And they're the ones who are deciding to hire people that they know are more exploitable, and then, you know, they have less protections. That's the question, not blaming your fellow worker.
Right.
I mean, we've all, I don't want to speak for other people, but I've been in situations where I've been told it's like, you take my job away. And I'm just like, I'm a citizen. It's like, why does my status have to give me a claim to a job? Shouldn't it be about, you know, if you're qualified? Shouldn't you be asking why the boss is
getting mad at the wrong person?
Yeah, it's just getting mad at the wrong person. And I mean, productivity, I will say something I want to push back on from what you said, and here's the honesty. It's, yes, like, it's good to have people who are productive in the community. And the majority immigrants who migrate here are trying to make a living. But we have to also move past on, like, whether or not someone adds taxes to the community. Like, your worth is not not the financial gain the community gets from you. Your worth is just in the fact that you're a human being. And you receive dignity because of that.
Absolutely.
I love that.
And not that that's what you're saying, but just, you know, not at all that that's what you're saying. But I mean, that is something we have to recognize, whether or not someone came here to work a 9-to-5, or whether someone came in here because they were coming from a bad school system and now that child could receive an education here. That is what we should be looking at. It's like, someone has choosing this to make, they are choosing to leave everything they know behind for a new community. And we owe it as their neighbors to help them create that community and be their community.
Opportunity.
Yes. And you were stating the question, you know, what do you wish that more people understood about the reality of these raids? And you shared some of that. Do you have any other stories that just stick to you?
So in that first week of the May operation, where THP was pulling people over, which THP is supposed to be the Tennessee Highway Patrol. They're supposed to stick to, you know, the interstates, but they were choosing to go into the communities that they don't normally go into. They were going out of their way. one of the things that stuck out to me was one of our when I was doing a Migra watch, which Migra is Spanish for immigration. Mm-hmm. It's like short term or a short word for it. Migra watch. One of my colleagues was observing a THP stop of someone on Alonso Pike with their video camera out, and what they caught on tape was awful. They saw a THP officer pull someone over who was Latino appearing and Latino presenting, and the person, my colleague, got out and was just shouting, it's like, why'd you pull this person over? Why'd you pull this person over? The THP officer looked over, saw that he was being recorded, and didn't even bother going to the driver. They just turned right back around, got into their car, and left.
Wow.
Because they knew they had been videotaped the entire time. So whatever the excuse was for pulling that person over was going to be legitimate. Now, why is a THP officer pulling someone over and then ignoring the reason they pulled them over for? If that person was a legitimate danger to the community, you should be going and doing your job. And that told me everything that I needed to know about what these THP stops were really about.
Right.
So that's one of the stories that sticks out to me.
Yes.
Another story that stuck out to me was talking to the son and daughter of someone who was detained and trying to figure out what their immediate needs were. They were suspicious of me. I was just some person on the phone. I told them, you know, I was organizing with the Remix, and they were very weary about trusting a stranger with the phone. And here I was, a direct resource, direct support in this really tough time. And it took a couple of phone calls to gain their trust, a couple conversations. But ultimately, they decided not to seek any direct support. I don't know why. But even though I had told myself I was going to put myself in a place where I can support other people during this really tough time, because I have been there before, when your loved one is detained, they chose to stay to themselves in a time of stress and frustration and sadness. They chose to stay to themselves.
Do you think it was maybe because of fear?
It was fear.
Yeah.
Where in a time of so much anxiety and panic,
yeah,
what you need the most is a support system.
Right.
And I wanted to be that support system for them, but I couldn't be that for them. And that's one of the impacts of this, is we create fear when we do this, not just on the people you're detaining, but in the entire community.
Yeah.
And this is antithetical to wanting a prosperous community. Mm-hmm. For me, community is everything. I say that word so much because community really is everything for me. I come from a background where family, friends, like, they're all so interwoven. When a lot of immigrants come to this country, like my parents did, you really create family and a network out of what feels like thin air. And like they had such a small support system when they first got here, and now I got so many cousins. I don't know who's actually my cousin.
that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, and that's incredible.
Family, come on.
But when they came here, they had very little. They had very little knowledge. The family that they had was all across in a different country or in California. And like now we have such a large system of support. And for the people, like the people that were detained, a lot of them didn't have that same support. They couldn't fall back on family. They couldn't fall back on the cousin, not cousins. And that was awful. And that's why we as neighbors should be able to step in when we see people don't have the support that some of us are so privileged and blessed to have.
Yes.
So that's one of the things that really stuck out to me. And even though I wasn't able to be there for them, I'm still going to push forward because someone's going to need support.
Right.
And I want to be the best type of support that I can be for them.
That's good. That's
I
good.
Just hear come unity. Yes. Unity come.
Come.
Come unity.
Yeah.
Unity.
I want to take a break real quick and read another scripture. Leviticus 19:33-34 says, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt.
Now,
I am the Lord your God.
That's word. No, Leviticus what?
Leviticus 19:33-34.
Mm.
That's word.
Come on, Bible readers.
Okay. Yeah, now, it's coming straight from the word. So God is very explicit in how he feels about what's going on.
Come on, biblical leaders.
Come on.
Come through.
So how have faith-based or community organizations responded to the support for these families?
I want to be careful about how I word this. I want to say I have been impressed. I have been very impressed.
That's good.
To an extent.
Okay.
I'm from a Catholic background. I'm also from an Indigenous background. And for me, the church is something that the Catholic Church is something that I sometimes feel that I'm at odds with. Because of my indigeneity. But one of the things that I have always felt very positive about when it comes to my ties to my religion has been immigration. The Catholic Church around here, they are still willing to step in despite how overwhelmed they are with requests, with needs of support. So many families from immigrant backgrounds are Catholic here in Tennessee. And the Catholic churches have been willing to step in. But what has been more impressive has been the amount of Methodist churches, Baptist churches, Black churches, other churches that have just been saying, look, we don't know everything about everything, but give us some guidance and we're willing to step in.
Come on.
And it's been beautiful.
Bless the Lord.
A lot of the people at the Remix Way have come to us and joined as volunteers, because it's an all-volunteer organization. Have come and joined because they don't know where to start, but they just need someone to tell them to start. And they have been sent from churches. They, we've done Know Your Rights at churches. Volunteers from the Remix have gone and spoke in churches, and we get volunteers to come from that who do mutual aid, where they assist in delivering meals to those who have been impacted by deportations, who have lost the breadwinners in their family. They people have come in and said, "Well, I want to help out," and they said, "Well, let's work on trying to change this 287G." Agreements that the police have signed on to that makes it easier to discriminate someone because of their Latino presenting selves. There have been so many people from walks of faith that have come. And when I say I'm impressed to an extent, it's that I think we could do better. I think there are a lot of people out there who are waiting for a sign, waiting for someone to give them direction, for someone to delegate. And I say, just step in. Step in. If you don't know how to get your church to start helping out your immigrant neighbors, just ask. Just start the conversation. I say, be your own sign. You know, do you want to change this community?
I like that.
Do you have this interest in making sure that there is no discrimination based on where you work, where your skin color is, what language you speak? Then that principle of yours, that's your sign.
You know, it goes beyond of holding a sign in your hand. It has to be in your heart. And if it's in my heart, you know, it's going to be like you said, the solidarity is going to come. It's almost like when you know that there's a problem, let me be a part of that solution.
And we owe it to ourselves. And I tell this every time I get slightly anxious, slightly uncomfortable. It is a privilege to walk away from the discomfort. It is a privilege to say, I'm going to wait until I know more. Go and do it. Go learn the mistakes. Go be told you're wrong. Do it this way. Go learn. Go be a student of what it is to try to better your community so that you could eventually be the leader. And then so you can eventually step aside as a leader as other people come up as leaders so that you can make your community better. But waiting on the sidelines, that's just not going to cut it right now. And I want to encourage anyone who is listening to reach out to me, reach out to the Remix. I was in a room in 2018 learning how I could be there for my community, and I was waiting for someone to tell me what to do, and I was waiting for my sign. But then one day I went to a community meeting with other organizers, and I realized that I did not have to wait for someone to tell me what to do. I just had to start.
Right.
I just had to start.
Oh my God.
Can you provide us with your...
Yes, that was what I was getting ready to ask Angie Renee. We need to know the information.
Can you provide us with your contact information?
Yes, definitely. My contact, you could always call me. Yes. Do you want me just to say the phone number? Or
that's
the
up
Instagram?
To you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you
Let's
can call
bombard
me.
That phone.
Yes, you can call me directly at 615-200-8650. And then you could always
say reach that again.
Me.
Say it, radio voice.
Definitely. Reach me at 615-200-8650.
Come on.
That was good.
And you may also email me at jose.7.pedraza, P-E-D-R-A-Z-A. @gmail.com. You could also follow The Remix Way on Instagram and Facebook, spelled exactly like that, The Remix Way on Insta and Facebook. And you can always message me. It's my same name on Instagram as well. And could always connect you to a lot of the work that we're doing, which is not just overseeing what ICE is doing and holding them accountable. It is also helping your immigrant neighbors through mutual aid, like housing support, food support.
Yes, yes.
And it's also working on things here locally in Rutherford County, like the getting 287G out of Rutherford County, because it doesn't protect our communities. It profiles our communities.
Ah, I like that. It doesn't protect, but profile. And you know, like you said, and it's start moving.
Yes.
Start moving. We want to encourage that. We're going to take a, oh my gosh, you know what? I hate this part, and I must say it. We are not out of talk, but we are out of time. I need a tear right there, like a little tear emoji. But we want to thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's make a difference. Simplicity family, let's make a difference in our community, and have that unity that everybody matters.
That's right.
Be a voice. Thank you for simplicity. Remember, simplicity is for a lifetime and a lifestyle.
That's right.
God bless you and good night.
Good night. Good night.